Oh, hello, everyone. Before we get started with today's episode, I have a special announcement. We are so close to our 350th episode, and in order to celebrate that, we're doing a live episode. That's right. We're doing a live episode recording on Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. at the Triad Theater here in New York City. Now, if you can't make it out, don't fret. There is a live stream option for you all. We will be discussing the 2007 movie Across the Universe. So again, if you want to come out and celebrate 350 episodes with myself and a panel of friends, we will be at the Triad Theater on Monday, June 10th at 7 p.m. In-person tickets are $15 with a two-drink minimum, and the live stream has a tiered system where there is a $15 and a $20 ticket. For more information or to buy tickets, check out the link in all my socials at ButASongPod. And now, on with today's episode.
Life's but a song, so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, Sean, and with me today is a returning guest who I think he forgave me for the last time he was on. It's Tommy Schwanfelder, everyone. Woo!
I'm reconsidering. Yes. Oh, Little Abner, yes. Dog Patch.
Okay. How's it going, first of all?
No, things are going great.
Okay.
No, we're fine. Happy Easter weekend, week, whatever.
Yeah, as of this recording, yeah, that thing. It won't, when this comes out, it will not be Easter by any means.
I know.
No. But okay. So today, we're here to talk about the 1987 film Back to the Beach, a screenplay by Peter Rikes, Steve Meerson, and that can't be right. Chris Thompson.
Okay.
On my outline, I wrote Christ.
Hey, so, it's prolific. It's Easter. It's fine.
It was directed by Lindell Hobbs. And according to IMDb, Frankie and Annette, having grown up and put aside their beach partying lifestyle, visit their daughter in Southern California and discover there's still some wild times left in them. So I want to do, I should have done this for Little Abner. I want to do a little check-in, first of all, to see how you feel about this movie before I talk.
So the way I feel about this movie is, I saw this in the local video store, just the cover art of the original VHS. It was all of them like in a 50s, 60s car, jumping out of it, whatever, all of them popping out. I was like, oh, this looks like fun. Let me watch this. And so I saw it, and even not even realizing the gay youth that I was, that how campy and how fun this movie was. It was just so much fun. Like, just the cover really showed you, yep, it's the late 80s. Everyone's in bright colored clothes. We're all having fun. That's what this movie was. A lot of fun.
Okay.
And then as I grew up,
okay,
and watched it 1,000 times more, I just learned about the history of it and the references within every scene.
Yeah, I had to have IMDb open the whole time watching this because I was just like, I know you, but I don't know you. Like, obviously, I knew who, I knew Gilligan. I don't know the actor's real name. And I'm a little lazy looking it up right now.
Bob Denver. His name is Bob Denver.
Him. And then, like, obviously, I know Frankie and Annette, which I was reading. It's interesting that they never call him Frankie. He's always the big kahuna, and he's credited as Annette's husband because they couldn't use his name for whatever reason.
It was some weird legal thing, like that they couldn't call them Frankie and Annette, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I do know
I
because I
don't, I didn't,
don't.
I didn't really understand it because, like, also, I want to preface this by saying I haven't seen their beach movies yet. That's on me.
Yep.
That's on
Nope.
me.
That's on you. Yep.
That's on me. Yes. We watch different things growing up, so that's on me. So there's a lot of, I feel like a lot of references in this movie that I am not understanding because it is their beach movies. However, as a, I'm gonna call this a parody reboot. Because
Okay.
it
Yeah.
is a parody. I picked up it's a parody, but and
Yes.
it's kind of a reboot. Along the lines of like the Scooby-Doo live action movie, the Brady Bunch. I'm pretty sure
Yes.
there's a few others. I don't think this one is as successful as, say, the Brady Bunch movie.
No, I agree with that.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And no, totally. No, I'm on board. I love this movie, but I agree with you. And
Yeah,
I
I
can't remember
because
if it was your podcast or someone else, and they said something like, "Back to the beach walked so Brady Bunch could fly." Like it was
oh, that
something,
was definitely not me.
but it was something like that. But I was like, "No, that's totally apt. That makes complete sense."
Well, so going like even going back to looking at the writers and everything, none of them do any of this style. Two of them worked on Superman 4 or not Superman, Star Trek 4, which a song from this is in it, but I didn't really hear that song. So I don't know.
I don't know.
That it's the song is I Hate You that was originally from Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and one of the writers, the screenwriters, wrote that song, so he's giving himself a royalty
Oh, good for him.
basically.
Good girl. Atta girl. There we go. No,
But
this soundtrack is all over the place. We'll get into that later, I know, but
like
just yes.
yeah, for starters though, I didn't know who this movie was for. Because I think
Okay,
I'm gonna.
so I'm gonna ask. So I will tell you, I'm 45 years old. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I am, as of this recording, 36 years old.
Okay, so we're about 10 years apart.
Right.
So in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a huge resurgence of 50s,
That the
everything.
rockabilly,
Yeah, the
yeah.
rockabilly, everything.
Oh.
I had a birthday party in 1989 that was girls in poodle skirts. That's what we did. And I think it was just that cultural, maybe our parents, just felt that because my parents were born in the 40s. So maybe it was just that.
Well, no,
But
I
it
mean,
was.
I didn't know if this was supposed to hearken like the fans of the Frankie and Annette movie, or if this is supposed to interest the youth in a way, because it wasn't. I understand the camp factor. I find the camp factor.
Oh, yeah.
There were some moments that I did laugh out loud, but again, I was just like, I don't understand what is why. Like,
Yeah.
at least with the Brady Bunch movie, the 90s movie, they are acting like the 70s Brady Bunch on the TV show, but they are thrust into 90s culture. So you're seeing how much of a clash there is between
Yeah.
them. But with this one, they're all of the modern day, which is 80s, mid 80s. But they are acting like they are in the 60s, which didn't make sense for me. It felt a little disjointed.
Well, because no, I agree with that. I understand. But what I also kind of respect about it is that, like, Frankie and Annette, so Frankie, or the Big Kahuna, sorry, we can't call him Frankie. So the Big Kahuna has grown into this car salesman, this just overwrought man. And he has grown and going out into the world and into Los Angeles. Yeah, they go into LA. But so all he knows is about selling and doing these other things. So he's adapting to the world that's around him. So he still has that idea of the 60s, but he knows how to adapt to, oh, I need to sell to the modern world. Whereas Annette kind of just, in a great, the freaking best way ever, she's like, let's have a pajama party. Great. We're gonna have peanut butter. Great. And the peanut butter is a shout to Annette Funicello and her supporting, the
She
peanut
was a
butter brand.
spokesperson
Yeah, she
at the
was a
time.
spokesperson for them for peanut butter. So good for her. And I love that. And again, the wink and the nod. And I love that. And another thing I love at the beginning, the very beginning of the film, when their son Bobby is explaining who everyone is that we get to see Mickey Mouse Club footage of his mom. So Paramount got permission
No
from
idea how they
Disney
got
to show this.
that.
They paid. It's fine. It's fine. They got their money. It's cool. But there is no footage of Frankie in any of the Beach movies. None of it.
Well, that's not even from the beach movies when you're seeing him,
Yes.
and I'm using him in quotes, surfing.
Yes, the surfing is just like generic. Here's a guy in a pipeline surfing.
So it's
Yes.
not what they use in those beach party
No.
movies.
No, not at all.
Got it.
Nope.
Well, the weirdness starts there for me, where you're getting their backstory, and they're clearly the big kahuna and Annette are clearly like lived in LA at some point. But when they get there initially, it feels like they've never been there before. And then all of a sudden, you hear Annette being like, "We used to party here. We love the beach. Look at this place. Oh my
It's
God,
our
everyone's still
song. That's our
here."
song on the
Yeah. And I'm
radio.
just like, okay, so, but why are you still acting like you've never been to LA before? I get it. LA has changed in the 20 years, they say, that
About
they
that,
were last there.
yeah, because their daughter would be about 22. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So Lori Loughlin plays their
I
daughter.
knew we were going there. I knew that was going. Yes.
And again, I was playing the IMDb game, and I was just like, Lori Loughlin looks like she's 18 in this. How old? Like, I can't find if this when this was actually filmed. My theory is that this was filmed maybe in like 85 and then released in 87, because she was in Full House in 87, and she doesn't look as young as she does in this movie.
Wait, Full House was 87?
I will check the IMDb again.
No,
If
I'm
it's
not
not
doubting you. I don't remember. I'm like, wow, that
1987 to 1995.
Damn, good for her.
And she was on, well, she okay, so she was on starting in 1988, but you're like,
But still, yeah.
I mean, and it can't just be like, oh, it's the makeup and styling. No, she looks so much younger here that I'm like, how old are we supposed to be? And then they have a 15-year-old. Like, what is go or 12? I don't know how old the kids
Yeah,
are.
Bobby. Okay, so let's just get this out of the way. Let's talk about Bobby. Bobby's a problem. So, Bobby is their miscreant son who just wants to try to break the mold. He just wants to get out of this lifestyle, everything. So, he's spray painting in the house, in a gorgeous house that I would kill for, by the way. I don't care, it's in Ohio, but that's a gorgeous house.
You can always move it
Yep.
at this point in
Yep,
this
pick
day
it
and
up and
age.
move it over. But it's a gorgeous house, and he doesn't want the peanut butter that his mom's gonna give him, so she's gonna give him chunky
Chunky.
peanut butter instead for a variation. But just, and for anyone listening, if you know the movie Better Off Dead, he's the $2 kid. He's the kid on the bike who wants $2 for his newspaper route.
Good for him for having a career outside of
Exactly.
this movie. Like, this film made me understand why Frankie and Annette, the actors, were on the Pee-wee's Christmas special.
Yes, and as I had texted you before, but listeners, so we had mentioned, that this is the exact same time period as Back to the Beach and Pee-wee's Christmas Special were about the same time
Like a
period.
year off of each other.
Yeah, but it was that, obviously they knew each other, but it was that, like, hey, you be in my movie, I'll put you in my Christmas special, or vice versa, depending on, what it is.
Right.
But just, I love that.
And like I had to look up all the other guest stars because they were making references to their shows in this movie. And I was just like, wait, were you the captain of the Love Boat? He was also in Get Smart. And then at the end they had June Cleaver n host the surfing competition with the people who played Beaver and well, the other kid. I can't remember it.
And his brother. Yes. No, it was them, Wally and the Beeve.
Yes. And then also Miss Mason from Grease 2 is in this.
Yes, and oh, do not start me in Grease 2, but yes, Connie Stevens. But I love that the historically accurate people, so Kooky, lend me your comb, who parked his car, was Kooky. It was him. And the fact that Connie was still Connie. And he was Frankie. We didn't call him that for whatever reasons. And that Annette was Annette. But all the people historically were the people who they were. We didn't get the
Well, so,
background. We don't need it. But I love that they kept their names.
but that also made me wonder. I also went on a little bit of a IMDb rabbit hole with all of these people. Connie, I don't think was in any of their movies. They may have crossed paths being Hollywood people at that time, but I didn't see, I mean, I could be wrong, but I didn't see her in any of their beach movies.
And I'm going to say I cannot remember at all. Listeners, please feel free to comment
Yes,
and
please
correct
feel
us.
free.
Please educate us. But just she seems like she would be the bad girl at that time of those movies.
Oh, yeah. I mean she's had a healthy career. I will say that.
And she had, oh, sorry, I'm looking at my notes right now. She had one of the best moments ever later in the film when she and Annette are, so Annette is just, she's fed up. We'll get there later, but Annette's fed up. She's like, you can have him. And Connie says, yeah, you can, fine, thanks, but I don't want him because he wants you. So that Connie's like, no, thanks, but no, Annette, he loves you. But that she says, quote, you sure have wasted an incredible pair of Hooters. And throughout the whole film, even the flight attendant in the beginning of the movie references Annette's rack is just so wonderful. It's
Nope,
just, I
because no
love
one's tits are bigger than Annette's.
Nope. The A and the E are kind of separating. Stand by Me
Well,
reference.
okay, so speaking of breastises, it was fascinating seeing an 80s movie that had no boobies, like they were covered,
None.
and I was like, wow. I mean, I get it. It was probably part of like the whole we're doing a squeaky clean, but like we're gonna have a
Nostalgia
little
boom.
sharp wit with it,
Yeah.
because there was something about that character Troy
Oof.
that I don't think he would ever like I. He may be, would he be in the movies? Their beach movies, but like not saying the same things.
Yes, there would be absolutely the just the like upscale, the sort of I'm going to try to take everything over sort of situation. Yes.
The guy to make Frankie jealous.
Correct. Yes. And that's why whenever Annette explains, like, oh, your father would do this, then he would do this. Oh, and this is why we burn stuff. It's because this all happened in all those movies, Beach Blanket Bingo. And just
Yeah.
everything. That's exactly why. She's right.
Yeah, because like when they do Jamaican ska, it's like it was also the time period, not just the beach movies, but I've done other movies on this podcast around the same time as those beach movies, maybe a little earlier, where they would introduce a dance just because they can.
Absolutely.
So that made sense. It was just like, how long are they here? First of all, it was supposed to be 10 hours, and
No,
then it
exactly. No, I
wasn't.
talked about that. Sorry, I talked. I mentioned that in my notes. I'm like, okay, so your layover is 10 hours. That's a long layover, by the way. But just that you can take all your luggage to go to visit your, to rent a car. By the way, rent a car,
It's
go
also
to your
80s
daughter's.
standard, so it's probably not as bad as it was, but I
But
don't want to
even
say.
still, 10 hours, because I don't know where the airport is versus
You're
where
right.
Sandy's
Wherever
apartment
they
was.
are, yeah.
So they rented a car, of course, classic 50s, you know, long nose car. And then they go there and can, and I'm asking because I really don't know, can cars park and drive on a pier? Is that a thing?
I don't know the answer to that. I feel like they can, but I don't want to say
Just
that.
seems weird to me that a car can park on a pier.
It's also fascinating how they characterize them because, again, I'm going to keep repeating this. I have not seen the Beach movie. So I'm pretty sure, though, Frankie wouldn't have a short temper as he did in this movie.
Well, because I think it's Bobby that mentions something like within the past 10 years, or maybe I think actually Sandy mentions the last 10 years is when he became this more
Got
very
it.
strict conservative father. It's very specific. The past 10 years, something happened.
And it wasn't the story.
No, because he tells that story every night
Every
after dinner. We hear the story. And
wasn't that good of a story,
no,
though.
it's not. No, I agree.
Because
But
they keep saying the story. Oh no, Dad's telling the story again. No, we
yes.
don't want to hear the story. And then you hear the story and you're like, that's it?
Yep, and that flight attendant who says, "I'll pass." Good for her. And oh, and I again I mentioned in my notes is just that I love so many years ago I won a trip to Disney World and I found out that you can request special meals on flights, special in the sense of like a kid's meal. I don't mean dietary because this was 1988 at this point.
Right,
And
nobody
I
was
didn't,
vegetarian.
yeah, there's no vegan, there's no vegetarian, there's no one had gluten allergies, nothing. It was just a kid's meal. And so I was like, oh, I can get a kid's meal. So me and my sister got a kid's meal. And so we're on Delta, we got a kid's meal. And this little girl behind my sister was complaining that she didn't get a Twix bar because we got a Twix bar with ours. And so my sister threw her Twix bar at the little girl behind her.
Bless her heart.
Bless my sister's heart because she was great.
Oh my goodness. All right, let's get to the songs then. So I realized I gave you a list, and that what in that list I found on the Wikipedia page, it's actually the soundtrack. So I was like, we're bound to find have some of these songs in here. The
Yeah.
first song isn't until 27 minutes in, and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Catch a wild all over the world. Yeah. It's
No, like the like them singing song, not a not
oh,
a
gotcha. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yes.
California
And
Sun is the first song.
which is a it was already a preconceived song, so he sang it and he sings it at Connie's and he sings it great. It's fine. But I don't think it's on the soundtrack, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah, the only songs not on the soundtrack that appear in the movie are When I Go to the Beach, We'll Go On Forever, which is the final song, and I Hate You, which is the
Oh,
one
yes.
from Star Trek 4. Everything else appears, but I just don't know when a lot of them are played.
So it's
Because.
a lot of it's just background stuff. Actually, there's a lot of music in this movie, which is background stuff, but
Music.
it's classic, just stuff you can find anywhere. You know what I mean? So
But
it's
with
nothing that's special.
like an 80s twist to it.
Well, when you get Dick Dale and the band in the back,
Yes.
and we can, you know what? We can come back in the year 2000, and Dick Dale will still be performing here.
When
As
they
Frankie
said
says.
that, when they said that, I was like, oh.
Oh, too soon.
But yeah, so there's California Sun, Jamaican Ska. They sing Woolly Bully, which that one definitely got the 80s makeover.
Yes.
Pee Wee Herman sings Surfin' Bird.
Surfin' Bird. Oh my God. I can't stand it. Like I was here for every second of it. Him up there on that stage, just being silly
I'm
for
using the
no
term
reason.
sings very loosely here
Yes.
as well.
That's why I'm saying he was there on stage.
And I wrote down Pee Wee Herman would sing this song. Like this, like if you want him on a surf movie, this is it. This is what he's
Yes,
singing.
I agree.
He's not doing Beach Boys. He's not doing any other similar type music. He's doing Surfin' Bird and doing all the noises.
Quick, end with a
Yeah,
blah,
it's
blah,
like,
and then just taking a surfboard into space.
of course, fucking course. I wrote down. I'm definitely too sober for this movie. Multiple times, I wrote that down multiple times. Specifically in Surfin' Bird at the end,
You're like, oh, I need a drink.
but California Sun, that was something. I have to commend them though, because like updating the songs to like for mo the modern audience of 1987 is like a feat, and that is something that's always fascinating to me. You know, when they change it up for whatever reason. I don't know if they were successful in all of the songs.
I think for most of them, honestly, they were what I called, and I wrote down in my notes, there was used to be a Nintendo game called TNC Surf, Town and Country Surf, where you'd surf, you'd skateboard. I'm sure there was other things I can't remember right now, but it just had that edge to it. And again, 8-bit Nintendo, so work with it
Grain of
what
salt,
you will. Yeah.
yeah.
But it just gave all that classic Beach Boys sound, whatever you thought was a beach music, it gave it that edge.
Like I did like the when they played Wipeout, and that was with the 80s edge. That one I was like, oh, this is so cool. And it's Wipeout. Like Wipeout is all instrumentation. So half it sounded like they had fun with it. I wish it was the full song, but that's me.
No, I agree. So I love when he is at the bar and he asks Connie, what's a kahuna? Is it good to have a big one? And he's just drunk completely. And I've never tried one, though I am very curious. The next morning, sorry, this is not music related, I know, but the next morning when Michael makes, it's just
That Keith Richards,
That Keith
whatever.
Richards concoction. I was like, wow, like Alka-Seltzer, Folgers coffee, and a Pepsi.
There was something else too.
Oh,
There
was
was
there a
another. There was
what?
like two tablets, the two different tablet
Maybe aspirin
sizes,
or something.
maybe.
I'm like, and then he just wakes up and he goes cross-eyed and he's good to go. I was like, I'm curious about that. Never
Drugs. It's
tried it,
basically
but
drugs.
it's
He
drugs.
gave him
Kids, don't
drugs.
do drugs. It's fine. Don't do drugs.
Or do them at your own
Or do them.
leisure.
Hey,
Hey, live your
if that
life.
wakes you up, you do you.
I
It's fine.
mean, this movie was so 80s with everything. And w at the beginning, you're seeing TWA and me going, oh, you have
Yes. Thank you for
legal.
noticing that. Thank you, because I almost wrote that down, but I'm like, no, I'm going to write that down. But thank you for noticing that. I appreciate it.
I wrote, remember TWA? Oh, you're not gonna have a good future, TWA.
But you were in this movie. Oh, and with the, did you get the O.J. Simpson reference?
Oh God. Well, yeah, I rolled my eyes when he first showed up, because again, having 2024 eyes, knowing
Yes.
what's going to happen. But yeah, with the pig skin that I got, but with the tripping, I didn't get the reference.
So the reference was, it was a Hertz rent-a-car ad that he was a part of, that he would leap over these bags to get to his Hertz rent-a-car. And that was the big deal, was like that because Bobby was so excited. Hey, we're in LA. There's all these stars, celebrities, musicians, everyone. And then that's like, oh, that's just, you know, what the Midwesterns think and everything. But they see him and he jumps, and then trips. We see him in the movie trip. And Bobby's like, oh, well, I guess that's not him. But in the original ad from 19 late 70s was that he was jumping over everything to get to his Hertz rent-a-car.
Well, because I know O.J. Simpson in like the 70s and 80s was like a slut for guest appearances on in
Correct,
things.
yes. And Naked Gun movies, yes.
Naked Gun movies, Poseidon Adventure, and those like we're gonna get all the C-list celebrities together and put them in a movie. O.J. Simpson.
Correct, yes. So, I do have to ask you,
Okay.
what are your feelings on Zed?
Which one was Zed?
Zed was the bad guy, the bad surfer, like the bad guy surfer.
Zed, I feel like, is them thrusting this style of movie into the 80s. And it felt a little off because I'm like, he's a punk. He's a skater kid. He's not gonna surf. But they needed the surf competition at the end. So.
Well, yes, but wait, punkers can't surf?
Well, I would as
God, what are
they
you saying? What is this?
I would assume they would more be skaters. I mean, granted, when we first meet them, there is that whole line of surfboards because they're on the beach as well, wearing black.
Yes, and you get to see the guy from who belongs in the Mad Max world, who is babysitting a child for some
Oh
reason.
God, I loved their makeup though. Their makeup was amazing.
Oh, I have so many costuming questions for you. I really do. I'm not kidding. I wrote them down. I have costuming questions for you.
What was funny is that there's a moment when Annette is in Sandy's apartment because they're right it's right before the slumber party
Gotcha.
that I had a stroke and I don't know what happened during that. I all of a sudden I was just like, what is going on? Where who are these people? What's pajama party? But there is a moment when she's refolding clothes in her laundry, and like one of the dresses that she's folding, you do see her wear at the end. Because she brought, I don't know, like 2 months worth of clothes for how this Hawaiian trip that they never go on because they missed their
Yes,
flight.
yeah, no, they never get to Hawaii. And that's another thing. Again, they have this 10-hour layover that all becomes a, I'm going to guess a weekend, a week. I don't know how long it was supposed to
It's
be.
gotta be at least 4 days
Yeah, so, ugh, they ate the price of those tickets.
because the big kahuna gets drunk and wasted, and then he becomes friends with Sandy's fiance, which he then finds out is Connie's son, who he has a brief moment of like, it could be mine. And
No,
then
he, Spud. Spud is his dad.
Spud, the valet guy,
Well, no,
right?
we don't meet Spud. No,
We
it's
don't know who
just
Spud is.
Spud.
Okay.
We no.
Because I was like, did we meet Spud? Who is
No,
he? I don't.
we never met Spud. No.
And then they have to throw the party.
And that's at least 2 nights later. There's no way that happened that same night.
Right. So like the him getting drunk is that first night, and then it has to be at least 2 to 3 nights later is the party. So 4 days, yeah.
Yes.
Minimum.
Because when they have Jamaica Ska, where they're all dancing, and luckily Fishbone shows up, who knows the song, Jamaica Ska, and starts dancing. And so, my costume question to you, so music and costuming questions, I beg unto you, is again, I was alive during this time. I know this time period. Why did women go to the beach with like fluffy tulle under their skirts?
Did they? Is that a thing? Or are they just
No, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
because when were the Frankie and Annette movies? They were in the 60s, correct?
Like 1964, five. So it would have been that still that intermediate like clinging to the past, trying to move to the future.
So I have a feeling this is a rockabilly thing. I
Okay.
don't think I because like we said, they are hearkening to this time period. Though that type of skirt was not the style in the 60s, I could tell you that, because it was more into the pencil skirt. So they're going for like a more flirty Grease, you know, the first Grease movie. They're in the 50s. That's where my brain went when Lori Loughlin had the bikini top and matching poodle skirt. Like the polka dot bralette top and
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm well aware of this.
skirt. Which I was confused, because like earlier, like, so there's the pajama party, then the next day they're at the beach talking about the pajama party, and then all of a sudden Jamaica Ska happens, and I'm like, is this the same day? You changed costumes. What's going on?
Well, because I love that Robin, when she says we look a little ridiculous in our pajamas. Oh, I like what you're thinking, though. And Annette like acknowledges it. I think that's great, but it's just like, wait, everyone, is this? I think again, like I was saying before, when I was younger, it was that kind of resurgence of the 50s, early 60s
Yes.
vibe of like, poodle skirts and big hair and
You
crinoline and just
don't have
everything.
to sell me on this. My favorite movie is Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which has that in there. My new favorite movie.
Listeners, you can't see me, but I just clutched my pearls.
Which
You can't see that.
also, I knew that that was in that movie, Voyage of the Rock Aliens. They were referencing the Frankie and Annette movies, so it kind of makes sense, because in the IMDb trivia that I read about how they couldn't use Frankie's name, they said that they couldn't use Dee Dee as Annette's name, her character name. And I was like, wait, but that's Pia Zadora's name in Voyage of the Rock Aliens, which blew my mind. So.
Yep.
To
Everything's a wink and a nod, but you can't talk about
Voyage
it.
of the Rock Aliens.
So yes. So tip of the hat. Thank you, Pia Zadora.
Oh God. I also was reading, to get a little serious for a moment, I was reading that Annette Funicello was diagnosed with MS during this time. And the sad thing is, watching this, after I read that, I'm a millennial, so I have 7,000 screens open.
Multitasking,
Yes.
yes.
Well, and like I said, I had to do the IMDb game, because I didn't understand a lot of the people in the 80s, you know, who they were. 'Cause like I kind of know Leave It to Beaver, but he was a kid at that time, so I didn't know what he looked like as an adult.
And I love that I knew exactly who that was the second I saw him in 1980, whatever. I knew who that was.
And like, but like, I knew Gilligan, and the skipper when he shows up.
Well, they
So
dress them
they dress
exactly
them
like they
exactly
should.
like it. Yes. But yeah, but unfortunately, Annette Funicello, you can tell that there are some scenes that like she's got to be hurting. I was reading that she didn't tell anybody on set right away.
There is a, I'm going to try to say this, oof, without crying. There was a great movie. A Dream Is What Your Heart Makes, the Annette
Oh.
Funicello story. It's on YouTube. You can watch it.
Okay.
But it's, and she's the storyteller of it. It's her telling, like, her, I don't know who the hell the kids are. When you watch the movie, there's these kids, and she's telling them all about her story, about her life and everything.
Yeah.
But they get to this point in the film, so they talk about the movie. And it's when the actress playing her, I can picture, can't remember the name, I'm sorry, but they show them filming Jamaica Ska, and she falters, she kind of drops a little bit, and they need to reshoot.
Is it Eva LaRue?
Yeah, Eva something. Yes, it's Eva something, who was on a soap opera at the time.
Okay.
Yes, but it's her, and it's a beautiful movie. Again, I'm guessing produced, but by Annette Funicello. But the whole movie is wonderful. But that's the time when she started to come forward about having MS. And because Frankie asked her about it while they're filming. And I think it's Frankie, like it is Frankie Avalon plays himself, like it's just him in the TV movie. And Shelley Fabre, who has a lunch with her, and she discloses to Shelley Fabre the same thing
So
about.
I'm looking at the IMDb of it right now, and Annette Funicello wrote a book about this, and that is what it's based off of. I'm sorry to make you cry.
No, it's fine. No, I'm good now. I'm fine.
She did not produce it, but she is credited in it, and there is
It's her story. Oh.
it's her story. And there's like looking at the name, the characters, character names of the historic figures, you're like, holy shit, there's a lot of people in those.
Yeah.
But yeah. And, but like, even watching Jamaica Ska, you're like, you want
You can see
to,
something's
you
wrong.
can
You can
see.
see it. Yeah.
Cause and like she was great. She was witty. She was
Oh,
fun.
yeah.
But there was something about some of the movement that I was like, you feel like you are much older than who your age is at
Yeah.
this time. Cause she was they're really in their 40s.
At
But
that
she,
point, yeah.
at that point, yeah, but it looked like in Jamaica Ska, she was, a frail 80-year-old person, unfortunately. But
And her.
I have to commend her for doing it. It's
Absolutely. No, totally. But it was after that, that's when I think, if I remember correctly, that's when Frankie approached her about the subject of like, are you okay? Is everything all right?
Yeah.
So, but I have to talk about, sorry, speaking of age, her hair throughout the film, it's that 80s slash 60s. For all our listeners who knows the show Rags to Riches, if not, look it up. It's the mix of 80s to 60s of like, hey, I have big hair, but for some reason I have a scrunchie in my hair
And a ponytail and a
and
half up, half down.
a half ponytail in the back.
She had all the
All over the
hair.
place.
And she's a tiny woman, but she had all the hair. I was like,
Like,
I had to remind myself, this is the 80s. This is the 80s. It's terrible, but this is the 80s.
yes,
Still
but
not good. This is the 80s.
so for a second, can we please just for like a minute talk about Troy? Please, can we talk about Troy?
Fine.
Please.
Fine,
Okay.
we'll give him some breath.
Okay, so Troy is, he's awful, he's terrible, but looking at him from this day and age, he's such an a-hole. Like, it's so stupid. He's so overproduced. It's just so deliciously awful. It's like
Is
you can't take
it
it
him?
seriously. You can't be offended by him because it's so terrible.
Is it him who uses analogies for answering yes, but they're all terrible? Like, what Oprah says to bread, and he does like a fat joke, or
Yes.
he does like poking fun at celebrities that you're like, my guy. Again, 2024, but still terrible. Ah!
Yep. Yes. And again, jokes that flew in 1987, great. They don't fly now, but it's just so stupid. It's so dumb you can't be offended. Like we should be, but you can't be offended because he's so
I
dumb.
think I'm more offended by the fact, and I'm not surprised, but I'm more offended by the fact that he's wearing like a Speedo. I'm like, I don't want to see all that. I don't want to see that. But I'm not surprised that he's wearing a Speedo.
Yeah.
Sorry, a leopard print Speedo, there's that moment when they're on the beach and Annette is trying to make not Frankie jealous, because that's not his name.
Yes, the big
The big
kahuna,
kahuna,
yes.
and she's making the big kahuna jealous. He has all, is it all leopard print? It's all animal, like
animal print of sort, but it's
Yeah.
all the same. And you're like, what? You would, but what the fuck?
Yes, because he's a hunter. That's what he is. So, and I have to tell you, so when we first meet him, he offers Annette a stunned mullet. And that's what then Frankie drinks. And he says, like, oh, the old stunned mullet. Why don't you try a real drink, slick? So I looked up a stunned mullet. So
Oh
by
yeah,
the
what
way,
is
a
it?
mullet is a fish. So not like hair.
Like hair,
A
okay.
mullet is a fish. So, but a mullet is
Is it
Mount,
a
it's a
date rape,
drink.
basically?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's Mount Dew and Old Smoky White Lightning moonshine.
Ha!
So it's a moonshine
And Mountain Dew.
and Mountain Dew. Yes.
Ooh.
Gross. Yes. I don't want to
Oh.
drink that either. I love Mountain Dew and I don't want to drink that either.
Oh, that doesn't sound pleasant. That sounds, I mean, kudos to the Big Kahuna for not vomiting during that drinking montage.
Yep. And that he just sloshed it down and called him out on it. So good for him. So
God.
no, you know, he didn't put aspirin in his Coke like Vince Fontaine did. Yeah, listeners, he's clutching his face right now. I'm watching him.
Oh God, yes.
John is clutching his face.
Which I'm surprised that Troy feels like he's the type of character that would put quote unquote aspirin in a drink. I'm surprised
Yep.
he didn't. Is there anything else you want to talk about though before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I get a bunch of stuff, but no, it actually a bunch of it will kind of reach to short and flats. We did that. Oh, this is one weird thing I kind of pointed out. So I'm going for a musical theater and movie musical here. So back to the music stuff
Okay.
here. So when Annette and Connie are having their little fight at the grill, by the way, what is Connie grilling? That's I'm asking that too. But
And is she
so,
really fighting?
yeah, well, again, it's just a verbal. It's not, you know, fighting. But when they're fighting each other, is Annette the Maria and Connie is the Baroness? Instead of like, you can have him, it's fine. But then I love that Connie ends up telling her, you wasted a great set of Hooters.
I mean, I feel like Connie's attitude this whole movie is just like, well, I missed my chance, but ha happy
Yeah.
to see you both.
Yeah. She's more
And
happy to see him than her, but still, she's like, okay, cool.
but even then, she's like, you're married. I'm not gonna fuck with this.
Exactly. And wait, and that was the other thing. So their daughter works there. Did she never tell her father, hey, there's a shrine of you at the place where I work?
I don't think I picked up on that Lori Loughlin worked there.
Yeah, she's a waitress because he's there to drop her off because
Got
that's where she works.
it.
Like,
Is that when he finds out about Michael being Connie's son?
it's the same location, not the same scene, but yes, the
Okay.
exact same scene, the exact same location,
No,
rather.
yeah. I know the location. I just didn't
Yeah,
know when we would see it.
they're at Daddy-O's. And, but just like, because that's where. Sandy, that's where Sandy serves. That's where she's a waitress because she's
Got
like, I'm gonna be late for work. So she gets out of the car and then he gives his keys to, you know, Kooky
Got it.
Burns. But I'm just like, how did she never tell her father that, hey, there's a whole shrine to you?
There's a lot of things that nobody says in this movie that you're like, how did nobody say this? How did you not actually sit down and talk to Bobby, being like, are you sure you're okay? Are you
Yep.
okay? Let's check in. How are you
Oh,
doing?
Bobby's a whole nother episode. On a whole different podcast.
And on that note, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
Let's do
we?
it. Bring it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I want to start with flats because surprisingly, I have more sharps. Surprisingly. So my first flat is the characterizations of Frankie and Annette. again, I don't know their movies that well, but they just seem like they're in different movies from this movie. I also flatted Frankie's abusive side. Like, it's not funny. It never was funny. It never will be funny. The end. I know Bobby's a little shit, but you don't have to threaten to hit him. And then my last flat. Okay, so you liked it. I did not like the ponytail, Annette's ponytail. It looked like she was hiding something. Like, or I was like, that's a wig. That has to be a wig, like on top of a lot of hair. Cause it was just so big in the back where the ponytail was. And really, that's my flats.
Okay. So I'm not going to say I disagree with that because, yes, it still weirded me out. So you can call the flat for me as well.
Okay.
With that, even back when I was, you know, 12 years old watching this, I'm like, why is there a scrunchie with a ponytail holding some of her hair up, but some of it was down?
I get the style, the half up, half down style. But so you don't like the half up, half down style, and I don't like that it's all of the hair on the crown of her head.
Good. Then we agree to agree.
We agree to agree, but in different parts, because it looked like a nest. I was like, is that a bird's nest or something in your hair?
Just, and honestly, just get the scrunchie out of there. It's the scrunchie. I think it's really just, it's the style itself is fine. Just get the scrunchie out of there.
Like when it was down, it was fine.
Yes.
Agreed. It looked great.
Totally agreed. So,
maybe it is the scrunchie. Ooh.
So, my only other flat was, I want more Robin, her redheaded friend who was supposed to surf. I wanted more Robin. That's all. I don't need her backstory. I just wanted more Robin. That's it.
Okay, so this is just a question that I should have asked earlier. The reason why Robin and then the Big Kahuna surfs the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
whatever his name was,
is Zed,
is because the Big Kahuna slams a bongo on Michael's foot. And I'm like, why did it have to be his fault? Why couldn't it have been that their bikes or whatever they were driving ran over his foot, or like they broke his board or something, or, you know, they punched him out a la Grease with the drag race?
Yeah.
You know, that's a door hitting Kanicki's head. But like, why did it have to be the Big Kahuna's fault? Is it because then he gets the hero moment?
It's to give him, yeah, no, you're totally right. It's to give him the hero moment. It's the, I don't mean to do it, but it's,
right, anybody, it's an accident. Yeah.
Yes, it's the accident. Anybody could have slammed it on Michael's foot.
I just didn't know why it needed to be the Big Kahuna that slammed it. That's more my question.
Gotcha.
I knew so maybe through the hero moment.
But he's also the one who inspired Michael to then start, you know, selling your boards and also doing all that work to just give them away, as Michael's explained earlier in the film. Like, that's just dumb. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care what year it is. That just sounds dumb that you're just giving away your surfboards.
Right. Because
that sounds stupid.
Even in the 80s, 19-year-old
Tommy would tell you it's dumb.
Even in the 80s, I mean, especially in the 80s, capitalism was big. So you need money. Doesn't matter how hippy dippy free love, you know, spread the wealth you are. You need money to pay for rent and food and clothes.
Exactly.
And supplies. So you should have been selling them from the get.
Exactly. And but the fact that Lori, oh shoot, I keep calling her Lori, sorry, Sandy, still loved him through all of that, that's wonderful. And then when she called him out on, like, no, that, you know, selling things is too straight for you, and then he talked,
like,
about when
I
you want to get married,
boards today.
And that's really impressive. No, that really is.
That is so impressive, yeah.
But just like, so you could have been doing that for the past 5 years?
Plus,
That would have been great.
You could, he could
Awesome.
have, it could have been that Frankie hates him. Sorry, the Big Kahuna hates Michael. Because, you know, dad,
yeah,
my
yeah.
daughter, can't fuck my daughter, whatever. But it turns out that Michael is like the big, like, it should have been that he was the big business person of the surfboards. Like,
yeah.
Like everyone goes to him and they're like, they all have respect for him. And then the Big Kahuna has to learn that. I don't know if that will,
yeah,
I don't know if that does anything else to the movie, but I thought that would be a little more interesting to me than him being a deadbeat and a beach bum.
No, and something, because I know we'll get to sharps in a second. But
Yes.
So I don't know if this might be a sharp, but first of all, Michael was a hottie, first of all, and he was on an episode of The Golden Girls.
Okay.
He was a cameraman on an episode of The Golden Girls for Rose. And for those who know me and follow me, I'm a huge Golden Girls fan, so thank you. Love him. But, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get into sharps.
Let's do it.
So I sharped Annette Funicello, because you have to. I also
yes.
sharped Annette messing with Troy, just because it was so funny.
Yes. Her, because, no, same thing. I agree. I'm not going to include it in mine because I agree with you. The way she manipulates him, the way she knows what he's going to say and just abandons him, it's perfect.
Yeah. But there's this weird thing that after they surf and the Big Kahuna confronts them, she's holding on to Troy's arm. And I was just like, why? Why are we doing this? I mean, it's probably to make the Big Kahuna even more jealous, but like, it didn't look right because we know that she doesn't like him. Like, she, even the their first interaction, she shuts him down right away. And so we know she doesn't like him, but the fact that she's clinging onto his arm feels a little lovey-dovey. And I'm like, no, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, no, I gotcha.
I also sharped Annette's costumes just because they're just so damn cute.
Yes, and it was a great, and actually one of my sharp that I posted, or that I wrote down, was nostalgic gem. Is that this movie is a perfect collection of what it wants to be and what it was at the time. Does that make sense? Like, knowing,
yes.
Like, you want it to be 60s, but it's 1987. It was a great version of both, and it worked together. And again, if anybody watches the show Rags to Riches, which takes place in the 60s, you're going to be like, what the hell time period is this? Because it's a nonsense fashion period. But this movie nails it perfectly.
So I have two more sharps. One of them is the insane makeup. I'm sharping the insane makeup. Because, like, at first it was just Zed and his gang. But then I noticed that the beach people also had insane makeup, like little fun things. So I was like, no, it's just, I don't know what's happening, and I love it. And then my last sharp.
Oh God, what?
Is for June Cleaver shooting a gun and saying crapola.
The big crapola.
So, like, I know the gun is for the race itself, but the fact that the woman who played June Cleaver is shooting a gun is so funny. And like, the crapola is the running joke that they don't say the big kahuna. They call him the big whatever.
Crapola.
Or the big kiki or the big cuckoo-machoo or whatever. Like, they say different word besides kahuna. And her saying crapola was just so funny as well. But like, oh God, she was one that I had to look up because I was like, I know you're somebody. I just don't know,
you know
what.
Especially after when she was on Airplane and she did the jive talking on Airplane, the movie Airplane. Look that up if you haven't seen it. Watch Mrs. Cleaver talk jive. And she does.
Oh boy.
An airplane.
Oh God.
And that's why this movie like touches, it's the little dabble points without going too deep into them. It doesn't go into the full Abraham Brothers sort of airplane. It doesn't go into that humor. I think the deepest moment it does is when, oh my God, is when Frankie stands up and says, when they're going to Los Angeles, and he says, "My little honey, wanny, my little baby, wavy," and everybody throws up in their bag.
Yes.
That's the biggest, like, Naked
It's
Gun airplane moment you'll get out of this whole film.
so I know I usually do a natural in between sharp and flat, like before I have my guests go and do finish it off. But I just thought of a natural that I would like to discuss even further. My natural is the fact that there is a Gilligan's Island reference that not what's his what's the what's his name? I can't.
Wait, Gilligan or Skipper?
No, Michael makes a Gilligan's Island reference, and that's what I'm
Oh,
natural at.
yes.
Because I thought the joke is that fuck, what's that guy's name? Who plays Gilligan?
Bob Denver.
The point, the joke is Bob Denver is making references to Gilligan's Island that we know. And he's like, oh, I should tell you about this weird boat ride I was on. There was the professor who could make a bomb out of this, but couldn't fix a hole in a boat. Like,
Two-foot hole,
yeah,
yes.
but like he was making references, but then all of a sudden, Michael made a reference, and you're like, why? What? Why?
So the fact that this outsider is making reference to a cultural TV show, knowing that the guy where his mom that his mom owns has an employee who worked on that boat, like,
Right, so I don't know what they're trying to say. I don't know if they even know what they're trying to say, but I don't know what they're trying to say because obviously the joke is like Gilligan's Island is real. That is the
Yes.
joke. But because it's real, they make a reference to the show that you're like, okay, what? So, okay. Anyway,
Nope.
that was
Nope.
my
I agree.
natural that I
No,
thought
I
of on the
totally
spot.
agree. No, but this is a great, I'm going to say it's a great movie, great soundtrack. Sadly, the soundtrack is missing the last number, the finale number that they're all singing together for some reason.
I'm okay with
It's
that.
not on the soundtrack. We go on together. Really? It's a great song. And the
That
pajama party song is not on the soundtrack. I'm guessing. Yes,
Oh.
like when they're dancing and then Zed and the gang all come in, like it's not on the soundtrack for some reason. I will look, and again, I know our viewers can't see this, our
Of
listeners can't
course
see
you
this, but
have it.
But no, it's not on the soundtrack for some reason. So, yeah.
Maybe that's the Star Trek 4 mo song.
We'll go looking for whales later, or that's part three. I don't know.
Oh no, that is 4.
That is four. I made a
Wait.
reference, maybe.
No.
Damn it.
Yes? Whichever. No, you're doing Quest for Peace. I think that's 3, but I understand what you're talking about.
Thank you. I tried my best.
No,
So,
you're doing Superman 4. That's what it
no,
is.
no, no. I am not doing Superman four.
That's the
Star Trek.
whales.
No, Star Trek with whales is not Superman. Don't you dare.
I or you are right that it is Star Trek 4 is the one with whales.
Yeah,
I
I don't
don't.
care what Star Trek it is, but it is not Superman.
Kirk and Spock discover a pair of humpback whales in the care of Dr. Jillian Taylor. Yeah, so Star Trek 4 is the one with whales. So
Okay,
you were
cool.
right in the first place.
Okay,
Ha!
cool.
All right,
Yeah.
but tell us your sharps.
Okay, so no, my sharps in this are just a nostalgic gem. This movie is just, it's just so much fun. It's marketed to a very specific people, to my parents, to everything. And my mom always said I was an old soul, so I love this movie. I understand, even as a 16-year-old 13-year-old, oh my God, I understood most all of these references. So I love the nostalgia of this movie. And I love the music. I love the fashions because it was a clever mix of the 80s and 60s together.
Yeah.
It was perfect for me. Also, Zed, I can't remember the actor's name right now. Rest in peace. The actor who played Zed, hot as hell.
Joe
Thank
Holland.
you, Joe Holland. Thank you. Thank you for everything you brought us. Thank you. You were hot as hell. Thank you for the gay boys who loved you.
Wow, he only has five. Oh, that's why. He only has five credits to his name, but that's because he passed away in 1994 at the age of 32.
Yeah, I think it was cancer, I think.
Pulmonary embolism.
Well, there you go. But yeah, so no, but this movie holds such a place in my heart, and I still mean that. Again, I have the soundtrack on CD, I have it on vinyl. I bought
It's
the
a
soundtrack.
record. Recall, call it what
Yes.
it is. It's a
Sorry.
record.
I have it on record. No one can see this, but I'm holding it on my record.
No.
No.
We the whole vinyl word, that's not a thing. That's a new word. It's a record.
I have it on record, but I bought it on CD at Brantford, Connecticut. There we go. I've placed myself out in the clearance bin.
Right around the time you saw Lil Abner.
Shut up. Shut up, John.
I'm actually pulling. It was a good one because you saw it there.
Yes,
You
I
got a
did. No,
star there. Come
I
on.
got Lil Abner from Madison, Connecticut. But yes, I
Got
did. No, but this movie, I sharped this movie very, very much. It's just a lot of fun.
I think I need to watch.
Yeah.
I think the hindrance for me was watching it in the morning, like right after waking up
Yes, that'll do that.
for the first
Yes.
time. I think I needed,
A
people
little,
or
wait, sorry. A
I
little pick me up.
need a little something something.
Keith Richards lives on these.
Yeah. I needed that, but not that, but that. Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
I would, yes. I would absolutely add Jamaica Ska, definitely. And though it's not on the soundtrack, I would add We Go On Together, the last song.
So I broke my own rule, but it's my podcast, so my rules.
Fair enough.
I wrote a saw I wrote down a song that only appears for us, and that was Wipeout, because I really did like this version of Wipeout. It's
Oh
on
no, that's
the track
good.
too. No, but like it's not like they're singing it. It's not
Yeah.
like there is no justification in universe for them to play Wipeout. It is them singing it. It's purely for us, the audience.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't really like the songs that they sing, but or I felt like it had to go with what we're seeing.
Yeah, you have the context. You need the context.
Yeah. Woolly Bully was all right, I think. I don't remember. When was that?
I just want to know. I think it's when Frankie wakes up before he drinks the whole Keith Richards thing and
No,
all the.
that's Wipeout.
Well, no, I know, but just all the surfers are waking up from everything. Excuse me, sorry. And there's that one guy with the weird blonde fro, like my hair, but bigger, blonde. And he's got the bell bottoms, and they show him going down the pole. I'm like, where the hell is he going?
I don't know, but that was an interesting setup for the TVs.
Yeah.
For a 1980s like security camera bank
Yep.
of TVs.
And have that guy who just talks like this, bro. Oh no, it's just not happening like this, man. No, it's
Malibu's
sorta
out,
dead, man.
man.
Malibu's out. Sorry, man. He can't come to the phone. He's dead.
Oh, he's dead. All right, let's keep going.
Super.
But on that note, Tommy, we're done with the episode.
Thank you.
We did it.
We did it. Back
You
to the
didn't
beach.
murder me
Yes.
this time.
No, I did not. No.
I
So,
mean, yeah.
did you like this movie this time at least? Find some enjoyment of it?
There was some enjoyment. I don't know if I want to be bold and say I liked it.
Okay.
I will, I could give it another watch if in the right circumstances. But there were moments that I did laugh out loud with the movie, not at the movie.
Okay,
I want to
good.
make that differentiation because there were like when June Cleaver shot the gun, I lost my fucking mind because it was so wild.
This
Knowing
is,
who she is, but I know she's
yeah.
not playing June Cleaver, but the fact that she's still dressed as like in that
In that,
50s
the guild,
housewife
yeah.
dress, yes, it was so dumb, but I loved it. But Tommy, what do you have to plug or promote?
I just have my Instagram and my Twitter, which is just at SpectroPluto. It's just pictures of me and my food and not too much more. I don't have a podcast, but I'm blessed to have friends like John who let me come on to his podcast
Have you been
and
on other podcasts that you can plug?
yes, I have. And right now, of course, I'm going to be embarrassed and I can't think of them,
Brain
but I
not
have
working.
been on
Got
other.
it.
Yes. So, I've been on What Do You Mean You've Never Seen? And I talked about, oh my God, I talked about the original Roadhouse. I talked about Gone with the Wind, but I brought them Death Becomes Her, which they all loved because they had never seen Death Becomes Her. And they
Oh.
loved it. But I had to sit through Gone with the Wind to get there. I mean, Roadhouse was a trip with P the Patrick Swayze version was a trip and was lovely and it was fine. But I had to sit through Gone with the Wind.
All 17 hours of it.
It's a double-sided DVD for you
It is.
kids. It's a DVD or a double VHS for those of us of a certain age. Two VHS tapes.
Listen, that's the one that has like a real intermission in it as well.
Literally,
But
literally.
the intermission is you changing tapes or flipping
Correction.
the
Flipping the laser disc, go to the bathroom, save it for the next day. It doesn't matter.
disc. And if you, oh, and if you have answers to some of the questions that we had, because we didn't. We don't know. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. What were your opinions on this movie? I'd love to hear about it. You heard us talk about it for the last hour. Tell me yours. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, we're going to be talking about the 1991 and only version of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh boy. Oh
Yep. There is no other version. Nope. Nope.
Mouth is shut.
Well, Tommy, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.